All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Dearly Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, grace, your compassion. We thank you for the blood of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank you for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Today, Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all glory, and you're worthy of all honor. Lord, we praise and we magnify your name today. We thank you for the blood of the Son of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord God. We thank you that we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, that the power of sin has been broken over our lives today. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, O God. And we thank you for moving in a great and a mighty way, Lord God. We thank you for yokes being destroyed because of the anointing of the Holy Spirit, O God. We thank you, Lord God, for releasing the gifts of healing, the healing anointing to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you. God, I thank you for healing asthma. God, I thank you for healing asthma, the asthmatic being healed right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I thank you for healing emphysema. Thank you for healing emphysema in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for releasing your warring angels to push back the forces of darkness over this area and over this region, that the glory of the Lord might be revealed. Lord, I thank you for a breakthrough. I thank you for a mighty outpouring of your Holy Spirit, O God. And Lord, I thank you that you're God, and beside you there is no other. And I give you praise, and I give you glory, and I give you honor. Let your blessing be upon this teaching today, in the precious and the mighty name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome to Straight From His Word. It's a blessing to be here with you once again to share the word of God. Truly, we serve a mighty God, and I'm just grateful and thankful, as always, for this privilege and this opportunity to be on the airways with you to share the word of God. You know, God is good. To the first-time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Straight From His Word. Not the typical radio preacher, give it to you straight with no sugar added. Amen. If you struggle with something, I give you chapter and verse, and then you just pray and just read about it. You hear me saying this over and over again. We're living in the last days. We're living in perilous times. The return of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent. We in the body of Christ need to be in urgency and seeking the face of God, making sure that we're found in him, knowing with him, walking in a covenant relationship with him. All of the preaching and all of the teaching should lead us to serve Jesus Christ. It should lead us to have a greater desire, a greater longing to know him as our Lord and as our Savior, as our Redeemer. It was so amazing. I was, you know, walking through and just listening to some scriptures, and it was just amazing as I was reading in the Gospel of John and how everything that Jesus did in the Gospel of John was to point to people to the Father heart of God. And it was all about who God is and about us being in a relationship with him. And much of the preaching and teaching that we hear today is man-centered gospel. It's not Christ-centered. So people are not really being directed back to Christ. And I was just thinking, you know, saying, I'm like, wow, we really don't hear a lot of teaching about Jesus and what Jesus did. You know, a lot of what we hear taught in the pulpit is a lot of self-help messages. You know, like I said, it's man-centered about our destiny and our purpose and all of these things like that. But when Jesus came, he came to restore that broken fellowship that happened in the Garden of Eden. And Jesus sacrificed on the cross at Calvary. And when he was raised from the grave the third day, that wall was broken down. So every individual who has a desire to know God and to be in a fellowship with God can do that as a result of what Jesus did for us on the cross at Calvary. That's why you hear me pray. We've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and that the power of sin has been broken over our lives because we're called to walk in liberty and freedom. Jesus Christ came to set the captives free. And it's about knowing him and walking with him and experiencing his presence and his glory, because we're in this series, Lord, Show Us Your Glory. And it's all about, do you know him? And what's so amazing that in the Gospels, in 14 and 15 and 16, Jesus was talking about the promise of the Comforter and how that when the Holy Spirit of truth has come, he's going to reveal to the people and to the world who Jesus Christ is. Jesus even said that if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Jesus even also said that when the Holy Spirit of truth comes, he's going to testify of me. In other words, the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be the primary ministry of the Holy Spirit in conjunction with the ministry of deliverance and healing and restoration. Because when you look at how the church was established in the book of Acts, the church was established in power and authority, and they went about doing the same works of Jesus, even taking it to another level, because Jesus said, greater work shall you do because I'm going to my Father. So we have the same Holy Spirit that was abiding in Jesus, God's Holy Spirit. So we're able to walk in that place of liberty and fellowship and authority and anointing if we allow the Holy Spirit of God to be God in our lives, and if we learn to yield and submit to the authority of the Holy Spirit of God, saints. And it's about that, you see, and it's about the Holy Spirit of God, because the Holy Spirit brings in, ushers in the presence of God. And when the presence of God comes into our midst, when it comes into our sins, wherever we might be, there are going to be miracles. There's going to be signs and wonders. There's going to be healing. There's going to be deliverance. There's going to be demonic manifestations to where people are going to begin to cry out, leave us alone. Those demons are going to be manifested in people's lives. And you hear me say this over and over again. We need the presence of God. We need the glory of God. We need the manifest presence of God to fill our assemblies. Even coming into your private secret place, that you might have a divine encounter with God, because it's the divine encounter with God that will change you. We need a God encounter in order for us to be changed, in order for us to be transformed. That's what happened to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus. He had a divine encounter with the Lord God Almighty. Go with me to Acts chapter 9. I know we've covered it in the previous broadcast, but it's extremely important that we look at that and we can get some serious spiritual truth and wisdom from this, because we know that if you study history of how Saul was persecuting the church, and he was responsible for multitudes of believers being put in prison and being murdered, because he thought he was serving God. He thought he was doing God a service. And he had this zeal. Now, see, think about this. The zeal that he had was carried over into his ministry when God met him on the road in Damascus. It tells us in Acts chapter 9, verse number 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any other way, whether they were men or women, that he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven, the glory of God. And he fell to the earth, and he said, and he heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, God, why are you doing this, Saul?" And understanding the fact that when you are a representative of Jesus Christ, when people come out against you, they are attacking Christ. When you are a believer and people are trying to interfere with your relationship and your walk with the Lord, they are attacking him. And then, of course, he replied and said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecutest. It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." And he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what will you have me to do?" And the Lord said unto him, "Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do." And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him unto Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor drink anything.
Now, when he had this encounter, this God encounter, God knocked him off his high horse. God humbled him. God brought him low. As you know, we've discussed this how when God reveals himself, and he's revealed himself to his servants, those that have a serious calling on their lives, how that there is a change in the person, that there's a humility that comes with that revelation of who God is. And I believe we need to have a greater revelation of who God is. And by the glory of God being present in our lives, we will be able to to not only experience its glory, but it will bring us to a place of humility and a place of brokenness that we realize that he is God and we are not, and we need more of God in our lives. And it was through this encounter with the glory of the Lord that Paul was launched into ministry, who was probably the greatest persecutor of believers when the church was established. And God took him, forgave him, and used him to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And look at all of the hundreds of millions of billions of believers that have came unto the knowledge of Christ as a result of Paul having a divine encounter with the glory of the Lord, changing, and lives being changed. Now, you heard me say that when the glory of the Lord comes, it's going to bring change. It's going to be a change in the person's behavior. But at the same time, when the glory of the Lord is manifested, there's going to be a confrontation with the kingdom of darkness. And one of the things I love reading and studying the book of Acts, because, you know, we have soft-pedaled the gospel. We have preached a wimpy Jesus. We've preached a love gospel to where basically Jesus is effeminate. You know, he's just wishy-washy, he's just, you know. And even the same thing with the Holy Spirit. And I believe that's part of the problem, that we are afraid to walk in that apostolic authority and power, because there's going to be a confrontation with the kingdom of darkness. Jesus said, I have come to set the captives free and to preach deliverance to the captives. And one of those divine encounters, and I'll just give you a reference, because I give you chapter and verse so you can see for yourself, is found in Acts chapter 13. Glory to God, you're listening straight from his word. Woo, man. Wow. And I love this. And, you know, you've heard me say this, saints, that it was the glory of the Lord that was operated. That it was the glory of the Lord and the presence of the glory of the Lord that was manifested in the early church, to where there was great miracles and signs and wonders, and there was revival and lives were being changed. It was because of the presence of God, the manifest glory of God. It was present in a mighty way. And it was bringing change, and it was tearing down traditions and strongholds, and particularly against the religious leaders. And everything was spirit-led. Every you know, the apostles were led by the Holy Spirit of God. And I believe what we're missing today is that we have not been spirit-led in our activities, in our personal lives, or in the body of Christ. We have reached out to the wisdom of man, and we have man-made programs and all of these things trying to build our churches instead of allowing the Holy Spirit of God to build the church, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit of God to draw the people that God has appointed for your church or for your ministry, or for God to even, Holy Spirit, to bring the people in your life that need to be in your life, that you might have these divine appointments, that you might be able to speak the word of the Lord and bring life to those that are dying, and to those that are perishing, to those that are hurting. And look at this in Acts chapter 13, verse number 1. I encourage you to read this in your devotional time, because it's very, very powerful. It says, now there was in the church, there was Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now, there's a fivefold ministry that needs to be functioning, operating in the church, that's not operating properly. The Bible declares that God set apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists in the church for the perfecting of the saints. And we have congregations that do not like the prophetic, the true prophetic. Then you have the rogue prophetic, to where they want everybody to submit to them, and they think that they're greater than everyone else, and that's not the true prophetic ministry. But the prophetic ministry is needed, particularly today, to expose the false gospels and the doctrines that have been perpetrated on the body of Christ that has hindered people from having a relationship with Christ. The church is guilty of idolatry, idol worship, of worshiping the pastors and their churches instead of worshiping the Lord God Almighty. We spend more time trying to gain favor with the pastors instead of trying to gain favor with God. And we've missed it. The enemy has diverted our attention, saints. Okay. Anyway, I had to say that. You know me. I just get out of here. And it says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, or the Holy Spirit said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. Now, the Holy Spirit is the one that commissions people in the ministry. That's the way it's supposed to be done. We are people who are self-appointed apostles and prophets and different stuff like that. And God hasn't called them. They're out of position. And they're leading people astray. That's why we have such a division in the body of Christ. Because we are people that are in the pulpits that were not sent by the Holy Spirit. Oh, boy. Well, here we go. So in verse number 4, it says, so they being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they settled to Cyprus. They sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, that they had also John to their minister. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. Now look at this. I told you, when the glory of God is present, there's going to be a confrontation with the kingdom of darkness. It should be the norm and not the exception. They said they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was the deputy of the country of Sergius Paulus, a prudent man who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. I want you to look at this encounter, saints. This man had been hearing and hearing, and he says, you know what? I want to hear the gospel. I need to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Now look at how the Holy Spirit dealt with this. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief. Forgive the siren, saints. Something must be going on here. Oh, my goodness. It said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil. Can you imagine a preacher saying that to somebody that's standing at an altar call? But this is the God of the Bible. This is the Holy Spirit of the Bible. He's going to call it like it is. He's going to tell it like it is. He said, you know what? You're full of mischief. You're subtle. It says Satan was more subtle than any beast of the field. And said, you are a child of the devil. People who are bound up and operating in witchcraft and sorcery, they're children of the devil. That's what the scripture says, saints. But we want to be nice. We just want to be nice. No, when there's an engage, when the Holy Spirit engages, he engages. People talked about the great Smith Wigglesworth, that he was rough and rude. Look, when the Holy Spirit gets ready to move, he's going to move. Especially when somebody's soul is hanging in the balance. And I love, he said, look at this. Full of all sudden, all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. Will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the way. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrines of the Lord. This man said, the man became a believer after you had the confrontation with the kingdom of darkness. When the kingdom of darkness was exposed, confronted, and defeated, then the opening came for someone to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we got to be militant saints. And we need the presence of God. We need the glory of God in our lives. It's available to every believer. It's not just for special people called into the fivefold ministry. But it's available to you as a child of God. You have authority in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have co-workers and family members that are struggling and going through things. And you need to stand in the power of God's might and be able to speak and to declare the word of the Lord to them. Come on now. You know, we are afraid that we might offend people. Jesus was not concerned about offending people. If people are dying, people are perishing, people are in bondage, they're in captivity, they need to be told the truth. I get a very bad rap because I tell it like it is. You know, when I preach against and talk about homosexuality and lesbianism, people don't like that. Because they said, you're going to offend them. They're saying you're judging them. No, I'm not judging them. That lifestyle, if their soul is required, they die in their sin. I preach the same way to the alcoholic, to the drunkard, to those that are bound by perversion. If they die in that sin, in that transgression, they perish and it's for eternity. When I have to take the pulpit and preach the gospel, I have to declare it all. And if the Holy Spirit says, walk down this road and address this issue, it's because God wants to deliver them. He wants to set them free from that bondage and that captivity that they might have liberty in Christ Jesus, because the enemy has lied to them. The enemy has deceived them. There are multitudes of believers who've been lied to and been deceived by the enemy, and they are walking in liberty and freedom. This is why we need the presence of God. This is why we need the glory of the Lord. And we need to be crying out, Lord, show us your glory. And in Revelation chapter 1, go with me there. You're listening straight from his word. Oh, my God. And here in Revelation chapter 1, we have the revelation of Jesus Christ. So the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants these things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins unto his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kings of the earth shall be because of him. Even so, amen. And here's a vision of the glory of the Lord. This is the resurrected Lord that you're serving. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, also, who am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What you see, write in the book. Send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Saints, I can't finish this today. Be praying for me here at Straight Word Christian Ministries. Be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Know that Jesus Christ is Lord. His return is imminent. Pray for your family members and your co-workers and friends, that their hearts will be open to receive the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands us to do so. You will be blessed. Know that I love you. The Spirit of God moves on you to bless the ministry financially. Please be obedient to the Holy Spirit. Remember, Jesus Christ is Lord. Return in. I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington, 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.